Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for joining us again. Glad you could be here. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm really excited to be bringing you today's webinar on monitoring collectors while working remotely. Enabling a remote workforce has been one of the most challenging aspects for companies in the credit collection industry and managing their response to the coronavirus pandemic. Getting employees set up to be able to work from home was an important step, but just as important as making sure now that those employees are doing their jobs. Today in this webinar, we've got a panel of leading industry experts who are here to share their tips and strategies to help manage and monitor remote workforces. This webinar is being generously sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning. You'll get the chance to hear more about them a little later in our program. Before I introduce our speakers today, I just wanted to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. For those of you who don't know, AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts awesome webinars like this one, offers a number of exciting podcasts, and manages a Slack channel for the ARM industry. The site is completely free for anyone to use and is a great resource of industry news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Let me tell you a little bit now about today's speakers. Mark Boych has accumulated 18 years of leadership experience in the ARM industry at national firms such as OSI Collections, Transworld Systems, AMO Recoveries, and Asset Acceptance Capital Corporation. Since starting at JP Recovery Services in January 2011, Mark has advanced into his current role of operations manager, where he is responsible for the strategic and day-to-day production of services. In addition to being a certified Lean Six Sigma Black Belt, Mark is currently pursuing his MBA at Case Western Reserve University's Weatherhead School of Management. Megan Bryant is the Director of Operations and Client Support at Credit Collection Partners. She started as a collector at CCP 9 years ago, as it since moved her way up to her current position. Megan is also responsible for all employee incentives and all operations within the company. Greg Ruffino is the Director of Training at Williams & Fudge. Greg has worked at Williams & Fudge for the past 8 years, starting as a collector and working his way up the ladder to Director of Training. He's a certified training specialist with ACA International. The format for today's webinar is going to be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to ask questions and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing. To submit a question, please either enter it into the Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel or into the chat module. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net. With that, let's launch into our discussion today. First, let's sort of establish and set a baseline for everybody. Let's go around the panel and I'll ask what percentage of your employees are working remotely? And then maybe you can talk for a minute about whether you think they will continue to work remotely or will you bring them back to the office when it is allowed to do so? And Mark, I'm not just picking on you because you're not on video today, but alphabetically you come first. So we're going to let you start.
That's fine. I thought I would put a picture up of myself, and actually this is my best side. So right now we have approximately 90% of our collectors working from home. This plan seems to be working well for us. My plan is, even after we can have them return to the office en masse, to actually allow associates who have proven that they can be productive, remain in communication with us, allow them to continue to telecommute even after they can return to the office en masse.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Megan?
Yeah, we have about, we're hovering at about 90% that are still working from home too. We gave the option in the beginning of whoever felt comfortable wanted to come back to the office, they could, and we had four. So that's where we're standing right now. But it's kind of to the point where, you know, don't fix what's broke if it's not broken. And so it's going extremely well. And we're just going to hold on to that for now.
Great. Thank you. Greg?
Yeah, very similar answers to Megan and Mark. Been working from home since mid-March. At least 90%+ of the office is now work from home. Only a small handful of collectors who don't really have the at-home setup appropriate to be there, we've allowed to come into the office. Very spread out, a handful of team leads and a handful of executives just trying to keep some sort of sense of home base. But 90%+ from home. I think Megan just said it, don't fix what's not broken. We just had a fantastic May. We will be home throughout the course of summer. And before the webinar started, me and Megan were talking, and we both mentioned our companies have put out or will be putting out surveys to the staff that are going to directly ask them, what do they prefer and what do they need as far as, do you want or need to come back to the office? Do you want to be full-time from home, or do you envision some sort of hybrid? And then us figuring out how to support that and how to integrate that. But a lot of questions to be answered over the many next months or year. No one really knows what the next year will look like, but we're thriving and surviving, and work from home works, and let's go.
You know, it's interesting that you both mentioned, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, 4 months ago, would you have ever imagined that 90% of your employees working from home would be the model that wasn't broken?
No. No. You know, 3 months ago, I thought we had it all figured out, you know, and when we had a staff meeting yesterday, and it was said that, you know, 3 months ago, we would have never dreamed that having our employees work from home would have even been feasible at all. And it's definitely changed our view on everything.
Megan,
yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Going back before we knew about any of this stuff, I wouldn't have guessed that we could have been this operating this well and producing the same general types of revenue. I would have said maybe with 1 or 2 dozen people, 3 dozen people at home, that would have been able to figure those kind of things out, sure, but it's good to surprise yourself. It's good to be surprised.
And it's good to be so nervous about it and not sure what's going to happen, you know, the unknown, and then all of a sudden your numbers are skyrocketing, and it's like, you know, maybe we're more productive at home, you know, maybe being a little more relaxed in your element makes it better, you know, whatever works.
About a month ago, my manager accused me of starting the COVID-19 pandemic, because before the pandemic, I was a proponent in our agency for offering telecommuting as a benefit to our associates. But that idea was shot down, and then the pandemic hit. So I guess that's how you drew the correlation, that I must be at fault for this. But I'm really excited about how this is turning out. The idea behind allowing our associates to telecommute is exactly just what Megan had supposed, was that our associates would be more relaxed at home, more productive. They're showing up to work on time, right? but we've noticed we have a coaching database. We've noticed that the number of coaching sessions for the usual types of shenanigans that we run into while they're in the office, we've noticed the frequency of those occurrences have been dropping. And we suppose that it has to do with there's just less in-office drama now. And they're working at home. They're a bit more isolated than they were before, but there's no standing up and talking to each other or within the office gossip. So we think it's working out well.
I'm curious if any of you think if there's a correlation. A lot of agencies across the country have come out or have said that, you know, April, May were very good months in terms of revenue, in terms of collection rates, you know, some thoughts of a sort of stimulus money, you know, being able to sort of fueling that. But do you think that there's a correlation between productivity and those good months? Meaning, like, if you start to see collection rates decline, do you think that you'll see sort of productivity and all of those measurements that you're tracking with your employees now as they work from home decline? Or do you think there's not a correlation?
I think for us, what I've noticed with the metrics that we take a look at, sorry, Greg, with the metrics that we take a look at, I would say that after the initial adoption period, there's a slight drop off in what we'll call post-call wrap time. During the initial adoption period. But after about 2 weeks, we notice those levels, those post-call wrap times start to normalize. So, but what I have noticed is that our contact rates have significantly increased. So our, before the pandemic, our associates would make contact with about 6 right party contacts for every hour they put into our contact platform. And now, well, since the pandemic, they've been making contact with 7.5 to 8 right parties for every hour they're in the contact platform. So contact rates are going up. I suppose that that has to do with people are more available now than they were previously. They may not be working. I haven't noticed conversion rates. So the percentage of people we get on the phone that agree to pay, I haven't seen those drop. I've seen them actually go up. And my guess is that those who are unemployed are receiving not only regular unemployment, but also the additional $600 stimulus money. So that's helping them with available funds, plus the CARES Act funds as well. So I think those are some of the root causes of why recoveries have not dropped off despite the current economic situation and unemployment rates.
And I would absolutely agree with that. Looking at our KPI report, and you're exactly right. Over the last 2 months, our right party contacts, our closed percentage rate, they've all gone up. And you know, I think when I sit and try to wrap my head around why, what has made all of this happen, I don't know that there's any just one particular item. You know, I think it's everything put together has just maybe made our employees happier. You know, they're feeling more comfortable at home. I'm not sure, but like I said, it's not broke.
Yeah, I would insist that between Megan and Mark and I, we didn't have any real pre-planned discussions, but it sounds like we're doing a lot of the same things or confirming a lot of the same things. And we, of course, saw a drop off initially with the production or productivity for a lot of obvious reasons. We didn't really know how to manage the staff yet from home. The staff really didn't know how to perform yet from home. You also have to look at the mentality. We had no idea that this was going to be 3 months long, 6 months long, a year long. So maybe at the very beginning, a lot of people were just kind of happy to have some time home and maybe kind of do a 50% effort on their job. And then you start to realize that this is going to be prolonged and you want to keep your paycheck. You're going to have to actually keep earning it and work for it. So, you know, the staff gets more IT adapted. All the other reasons mentioned, stimulus money coming back, unemployment benefits as well. But we get better at monitoring people. And Mike, kind of like we're talking today, how do we measure and monitor and make sure things are moving in the right direction? We'll keep getting into that. But we got better at doing that. The staff got better at adapting to the technology and the time. The staff started to realize that they need to work for their paycheck. They're not going to be going back to the office anytime soon. And then we all found our groove. But I do, to answer the question, yeah, production was initially down. But actually now it's up, because how many times in the office when you are trying to have a great company culture, does that mean you're having events and meetings and cookouts and parties and fundraisers and the list goes on? And all of those things are fantastic in an office environment, but none of them really produce revenue or put out productivity. So a lot of those things are maybe unfortunately by the wayside, but that does tie into being able to supplement more of your time through the normal working day to put into actual production.
Glad to hear that your employees are in a groove. I think we've got a good groove going here. There are a lot of questions that have come in so far. We're going to start getting them to them in a minute. But first, before I do that, I want to introduce Chris Rickman from Peak Revenue Learning, the sponsor of today's webinar, to say a few words. Chris.
Thank you, Mike. And hello, everyone. We are grateful for the opportunity to sponsor today's webinar. Our company provides a knowledge source, the leading workforce education, compliance training, and micro learning application to companies in the collection industry. Knowledge source is used by our clients to simplify and lower the cost of training new and existing employees. Our clients are companies that want to build and maintain a high level of assurance their staff members have mastered and are maintaining their mastery of knowledge expected of them when they're interacting with consumers. Knowledge Source automatically builds documentation of the training efforts of your company for existing and prospective clients and for regulators. For those of you I do not know or I haven't met, I have spent most of my career on your side of the desk. I've worked in the collection industry for over 40 years or 30 years. Most of that time in executive management of a collection firm, Knowledge Source was created to address many of the shortcomings in training and compliance I saw as a COO and CEO. Use Knowledge Source to implement an ongoing continuous training cycle, reinforcing the knowledge you expect staff members to have. Present collection, client, or company policies to your staff members during onboarding, training, or at ongoing recurring schedules where they acknowledge they have read and understood those policies. Present tests during training events to validate learning and on recurring schedules to certify staff in areas you wish, such as FDCPA, HIPAA, and other areas. Present videos, slideshows, or audio recordings in onboarding training classes or after a staff member has been released into their job function to reduce time to proficiency, or afterward to maintain focus on best practices. In summary, Knowledge Source will close knowledge gaps, promote accountability, lower the cost of training, document for prospective and existing clients, regulators, or auditors your company's proactive role in preventing compliance non-conformities. To find out more about us, please visit peakrevenuelearning.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks again to you and to the team at Peak Revenue Learning for sponsoring today's webinar. Really appreciate it. Even more questions are coming in, which is awesome. We're going to do our best to get to some. Greg's getting to a lot of them in the Q&A, typing out what he can, but let's try and tackle one of these with respect to what's come in here. With respect to monitoring, let's see here. There's a good one. Could the panelists address how they are handling training and coaching sessions, especially for newer hires? What has been successful for them? Mark, you mentioned coaching first. You want to take this one?
Sure. So we are actually in the process of converting our new hire training program to an entirely virtual experience. So we'll use an application such as Zoom or GoToMeeting to conduct the training. The trainer can present her training, which is already in PowerPoint format, via GoToMeeting or WebEx or Zoom meeting. And then from there, typically we conduct side-by-side coaching sessions with our new associates for a period of time to ensure that they have the mechanics of a call down. With our contact platform, our supervisors are able to log into our live monitoring dashboard via, it's a cloud-based application. So they'll log in via the cloud-based application. They can establish an audio connection through their cell phones. So they're able to conduct virtual side-by-side sessions. So that will be our new hire training program. Our coaching for current associates consists of sending them an invite for a GoToMeeting or a Zoom session. And then we set aside that time on their calendar and our calendar for the meeting, start the meeting, and just conduct the review session with them. Listen to the call with them or review the handling of the account with them, provide them with feedback, and then afterwards the supervisor documents the session. So it's a little bit more setup. But once you get used to it, it's pretty close to being there in person. Not exactly the same, but it's a pretty good substitute, I think.
I know.
Good job,
Mark. We discussed a little bit about you know, how we would deal with new hires and stuff. Right now, I think we're just gonna kind of wait a little bit and make sure we've got this new who wants to work from home, you know, that whole new system completely down first, one thing at a time. But we did talk about making it mandatory, you know, or making new hires, you know, have to come in for training and everything. Because we've set up certain KPIs that we're going to require our collectors to hit if they wish to stay at home and work. So, our thinking is kind of that we want new hires to be in here, you know, to there's a lot that, and we've done the training seminars, but there's a lot that goes into being around your peers, you know, and we've got a few in the office. So our thinking is we'll probably have them come in to train. And then, you know, until they start hitting those KPIs pretty regularly, then give them, you know, offer them to go home if they'd like.
So we had a new hire class all interviewed up, ready to go. Early March. Early March, you know, young whippersnappers ready to go. And obviously that didn't happen. Fortunately, we are, even though we were going to bring in a new class in March, that was more staying ahead of the game for us, or normal course of business. And we don't see any hiring occurring in this current situation. Obviously, if things drastically change, then I'll be calling you, Mark, and get some pointers from you. That sounded like you had some wheels set in motion there. But I would imagine if there's anything similar to what it is today, or even if we get into a hybrid scenario or partial office openings and we needed to bring a new hire class in, that is part of my primary job. I personally would almost want to do that in-house if there was a way to do that. If we were forced to do it virtually, we would definitely figure that out. And again, I'd hit Mark up on some of the things he's doing, but I would prefer, at least from a first go around, to have some of that in face, in person time. But either way, the staff that we have in existence, they are not at all being ignored. We let them go for maybe 4 to 6 weeks when we first sent them home to help them get adjusted and adapted to life. But once May 1st pretty much hit, we got back right into full expectations, and we do lots of, we use Microsoft Teams. It doesn't matter what you use, but as long as there's something that puts you in face connection, there's something that gives you a screen share, which is, I think, vital. Whether your phone server allows you to barge in on phone calls, or if you live coach and listen, all these things occur all day long. We have lots of FaceTime or Teams meetings, whether they're in one-on-one sessions or a team lead with 4 or 5 people. We had a very robust mentor program in the office, and we're just now bringing that back online, where over Microsoft Teams, we will schedule 2 individual employees, the collector who is the mentor versus one of the newer-ish types of employees. We'll schedule them a meeting. We'll hop on that meeting, and Mark mentioned kind of like a side-by-side. It's very similar. It's just a coaching session with the mentor, or with someone who's been with the company a long time, trusted to be in a position to teach. So we're not turning away from things that have been known and proven to work, but that is the new way to manage now. Is you get somebody on a collector, an employee on a call, you say, let's get on a Teams call, let's share some screens, let's discuss yesterday's activity, let's discuss this compliance issue, and you keep going as best as you can and recreate that virtual office space as best as you can. But we're training almost like we're still live in the office. I'm doing 2 different webinars tomorrow for our collection staff on just general topics and whatnot, and no login for 30 minutes. And that's something I would have done in office, just in person, now over the computer screen.
Looking at sort of the topic for today's webinar, and that's sort of, you know, monitoring employees, are you doing anything differently now in terms of how you're keeping track of what your employees are doing than you were doing when they were still in the office? Or, I mean, other than that sort of walking by their desk or, you know, checking to see if they're on their phone, is there anything really any different to what you're doing now versus what you're doing before the pandemic? Go ahead, Megan.
I was talking, but that mute button. I don't think we're doing a whole lot different. You know, like you said, besides just being in here and, you know, being able to walk around and stuff, I think we're monitoring the same way we monitored when everybody else was, when everybody was in the office. You know, we watch wrap up time, talk time. You know, I've got shout out to my 2 floor managers, Abby and Allie here, that sit and listen to phone calls and make sure, you know, especially now that they're working from home, there's no background noise during calls. There's no, you know, your calls, we were a little concerned in the beginning about the internet, because everything we have is cloud-based. So, you know, you need a decent internet provider for that. And so we would listen in and make sure calls weren't staticky, internet was good. So I feel like and I'm glad there's other people that understand where I'm coming from, but I really feel like it was just a different day, but business as usual.
Yeah, I agree. We haven't stopped taking a look at the KPIs that we have been taking a look at. Like I mentioned, we made a slight change to just one KPI, post-call wrap time, to account for an initial adoption period. We anticipated them slowing down just slightly. Plus, much like Megan mentioned, we weren't sure how fast their at-home internet would be. Some associates experienced challenges with that. But for the most part, I want to say out of our entire floor, we had literally a handful of people that experienced problems with telecommuting due to internet or no internet. And those are the associates who we have in the office now. But you know, after that initial adoption period, post-call wrap time improved, but we've been keeping an eye on all of our regular metrics. What we've done though to change things to address how productive people are at home is we had to set up a policy. We had to adjust our policy slightly. For example, we would expect someone's post-call wrap time to be under 35% of their total time on the contact platform. And interestingly enough, when some people started working from home, we saw for a couple of people, those post-call wrap times shot up from 35, 38% to 60%. And despite what I would call excessive coaching on the part of our supervisors, those numbers didn't improve. So we had to set up a policy whereby if someone couldn't improve those numbers over 2 weeks, we would tell them, we're going to have to cut you off. And then you can come back into the office. And we've had to do that for, I want to say, two associates. The rest of our associates have adapted to the change. Or if they were, you know, as some people say, teleloafing instead of telecommuting, they adopt and they started working again because they knew we were still taking a look at the same metrics. So my suggestion is don't stop taking a look at what you have been taking a look at. I think that that helps your agents maintain a sense of normalcy.
Agreed. And that point too there, Mark, I think if anything, we started watching more. You know, we started paying, because there's a difference when you're in the office, you can hear people on the phone, you kind of, you know, but I think once everybody was gone, you know, we all, management really dug into our KPI report and said, okay, now what do we really need to have lined up to make sure this is going to work? And like I said, it has so far, we haven't had any issues and I'm just thankful.
We are lucky.
Those are definitely some good answers. We're definitely still measuring a lot of the same. Prior to the pandemic, one of the distractions or things that we could monitor, but we're definitely seeing daily, weekly problems with this. We do allow for our policy, our staff to have cell phones in the building. I know some agencies or some business that's worked, you kind of have to keep them locked up or out of the office, I guess, but that's not our case. Our employees have their cell phones. So of course, you know, it's a major distraction. So one of our battles, a lot of our team leads would deal with is walking the roads daily and telling people to put the phones down. You know, you feel like you're a middle school teacher or something, but it's just one of the things you have to do. It's a major distraction throughout the day. Obviously we have a lot of firewalls with our internet and what you can go and view and whatnot, but you can still navigate half the world wide web. So, you know, whether someone's on their phone, being distracted in the office or on websites that they don't have any business going to. Unfortunately, we really can't control any of that while they're at home, right? When you're in the office, we're monitoring your cell phone use, your internet use, what you're streaming on your devices. I can't control that while you're at home. So we also have the people tasked to do some of the monitoring, a lot of our compliance personnel or team leads. Well, a lot of their time has been diverted or a lot of their daily tasks have changed. So they do now have more time to say, live listen to calls or to run more reports or to review more reports. One of the things we did was we automated a report that tied into the every morning management team leaders get a report and it breaks it down by our collection teams and it goes by individual as far as how many missed calls somebody had. So essentially if you miss a call, it's the way that our system is set up, it's essentially telling you that you weren't paying attention. It would be rather difficult for you to not know that you were getting an inbound call and to be alerted to it. If you're at your desk in a ready state or ready to proceed, you should not be missing these calls. So we have generated automatic report that we can review every day. The collector themselves gets an email saying, hey, you missed a call. Nobody wants to be on that report. It's an indication that you're not really paying attention or you're not particularly doing your job in that moment. So we went from seeing a large number of missed calls down to an incredibly small onesie twosie every day, just as a specific measure, particularly during this time frame when the consumer's calling you in. As we all know in this industry, that might be the one and only chance to talk to them. So you better make sure you're answering your call. So that's just one of many measures we've done to really kind of monitor it. In addition to our team leads having a lot more time to live listen and do call barging or live coaching. And a lot of the KPIs that we look at would be perhaps, we all have different terms or terminology, but like your after call wrap-up time, your pause time between calls, your percent ready time. We utilize that a lot to make sure someone's staying engaged. And when you couple that you're ready, your percentage of being ready is a great number throughout the day. And it's coupled with you're not missing any phone calls and some other factors. It's clear proof that I don't need to look at you down the row to know that you're at home working hard.
Very interesting. And Mark, I'm going to change my title. I'm now a teleloafer. I really like that.
I can't patent that one, but you know.
Okay, I'm just going to steal it. I'm glad you can't patent it because it makes it easier for me to steal. A lot of great questions coming in. A couple of questions with regard to how are you monitoring collectors to ensure security of consumers' personal information? That question's been asked a couple of different ways with respect to HIPAA and just sort of generally, I'm wondering if that's something that one or more of you can touch on.
So in our telecommuting agreement, that our associates must sign before they can commence telecommuting, they agree to work in an area of their house where they will be able to work in private, and where only they will have access to our collection software and contact platform. So basically we're saying, no, you can't work from Starbucks. The other requirement is that the area has to be quiet. They can't have children or family members running around in the background. And then the next requirement is that they agree to safeguard the PHI that they have at their disposal as if they were in the office. And then finally in the agreement, though this has yet to happen, they agree to allow us to stop and inspect their residence. If we so choose to ensure that they're compliant with HIPAA.
Are you planning on doing that at all?
If we get the sense that someone is a reckless violator of HIPAA, then maybe we would do something like that. We're fortunate in that we have not had an instance such as that. I think that putting something like that in a telecommuting agreement sends the message to the associate, hey, we're serious about this. This isn't like something where, don't worry about it. Go ahead and start writing down social security numbers. And, you know, I think putting in the agreement reinforces during telecommuting what we have in place in the office.
And we have the same, pretty much the same thing as far as we have the same agreement, you know, that they have to be in a quiet room, all of that stuff. We have a clause in there about it's, you know, the equipment, all of their equipment belongs to, you know, the company and is not to be damaged. I have them all locked down by IP address, so they can't go anywhere else. So we don't have that problem, but we also discussed the thought of maybe like the webcam. So, you know, you're sitting at home working all day and you just have a camera on you so that, you know, if a collector or a supervisor wants to stop and look and make sure, you know, your boyfriend's not writing down socials or, you know, you're beating the keyboard with a hammer, then we can. But I'm not sure that's just something we've kind of thrown out there. But as far as what we've done, we have the same agreement as Mark has.
Yeah, it sounds protecting the company's equipment is another part of ours as well. They're taking responsibility for particular equipment. And we have had associates who have quit on us, and we have the telecommuting agreement. And since we have that, we're getting our equipment back for the most part. We've lost one headset so far. That's it.
Did you turn them into collections?
They have an account open right now. I got to call them after this meeting.
Right here, I got a question.
So Mike is...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, did I cut you off, Mike?
It's okay.
Oh, it's quite all right. I was just going to mention, I've done some reading about what Megan was just talking about in reference to the webcam access and being able to check in and all that. It'd be interesting to know if you follow up or go in that direction. For whatever it's worth, a lot of the articles I read, you would be wanting to see what it does to employee morale,
yeah,
and kind of the big brother. But hey, to each their own. If that's what we need to do to stay secure, then, and if I need to do that to maintain my check, then that's for me to decide. We're not in healthcare, but it doesn't matter, HIPAA or not, personal identifiable information, very, very serious business. And in addition to the agreements that are put out there and some common sense, it is a risk. At the end of the day, Mark's agreement sounds incredible. We can kick your door down and come into your house and check your stuff. That's great, but at the end of the day, though, it doesn't stop human behavior. If someone's going to steal, they're going to steal. If someone's going to lie, they're going to lie.
Yeah, true.
There's only so much we can do. It is a mitigated risk, and every phone call we make technically is a mitigated risk, right? We get sued on any call, any given day. But yeah, it's a risk, and you hope and put all the measures in to prevent it from happening. And if there's that one person who wants to be that one person, it's probably just a matter of time before they're caught and they're out of a career. So I can't worry about that one person. I worry about the masses, and I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I mean, in our environment, you've got to have a level of trust, and it's, you know, risk to reward, because they could as easily sit out in their cubicle and write down a social security number and put it in their purse and take it home, you know, as they can sitting at home. I mean, I kind of feel like that risk is the same, but you know, we haven't had any issue with it. And so I'm just, I cross our fingers we don't.
Greg, here, I got a good question for you. How do you best catch collectors doing something well? Do you feel that you're finding people doing something great less often because they're not in the office and working remote?
That's a good question, and it's really important. I would hope you had some sort of practice under normal working operations where you celebrate people's successes, or you celebrate people helping people out, or you announce some things, and it's a lot easier to see those things and be aware of those things when you're in the office. It's a lot harder when we're all separated. So we'll see a lot of emails between teams and departments go out where someone just solicits their own teammates for, hey, who can help make a call for me tonight? And you see an incredible response nowadays, even more so than when we were in the office. People are willing to step up and help, because at the end of the day, if I'm your collector associate and I'm working at home and you're my teammate and you used to be down the road from me and now you're 5 miles, 10 miles across town, we don't get to see each other as much. I don't get to rely on you as much. So I know I'm going to need help too. So I'm going to be very quick and very adamant to help my fellow teammates or collectors, because I need that hand to wash my hands. So anytime we're made aware of these things, anytime we see these efforts being made, we're propping people up, we're announcing people, we're celebrating them, we're putting them into our month-end virtual meetings, you know, different kind of awards, above and beyond, wow awards, things of that nature. But we do see a great level of teamwork going on, a lot of support, a lot of people helping each other out at that month-end rush, trying to get the last business day in. And people who have already crushed their goals are helping people who are just shy of their goals. And it's really helped transform a sense of community. And when we recognize those things, then it just encourages people to keep doing them. So if you're wondering how to do that, you can solicit those things, you can keep an ear to the ground, but when you see these things going on, throw out an award, throw out an attaboy, an attagirl, maybe incentivize it to some degree. But that's something that's going to help build, like, if you want to say, like a virtual culture, so to speak, where you got to think about those things. So recognize people's efforts, and make sure people are helping each other out. And if they're not, have a private conversation with them. Get them on board.
Thanks, Greg.
That's
that. Megan, Mark, anything you want to add on top of that about how to sort of keep an eye out for the good calls and the good works that are done and how to sort of celebrate those?
Yeah, we do the pretty much the same thing that we were doing in the office. Our QA supervisor will get compliment calls, and then she will send out an email out to the floor, the entire floor, with the name of the associate and that she received a compliment about this associate and their handling of the call. So we're recognizing good calls in that manner, particularly where we're getting compliments, and then giving shout outs to associates when you're looking at the numbers. I think that helps to encourage those who are doing well, but it also lets everyone know that, hey, we are still looking at the numbers. We're working from home, but we're not teleloafing, right?
I've already trademarked it. Sorry. Can't use that anymore.
Darn.
Yeah. And I agree with Mark. You know, I kind of want to give ourselves a little pat on the back. And again, I'm going to give a shout out to Abby and Allie, but they did such a great job when we were in the office I think that whenever we did contests and compliments or somebody had a big payment or, you know, anytime we were cheering somebody on, we were pretty much already doing it electronically. I mean, we didn't all go out onto the command center and huddle up and, you know, sing kumbaya. It was a message through Slack and email, you know, and da da da. So I think in at least in our environment, nothing of that sort has changed. We actually last month upped our incentive amount and really gave out some good prizes just to try to keep everybody, you know, in the flow of things. So that's how we're rolling.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Abby, Allie, make sure you give, you know, Megan a good kickback for every time she's mentioned you today. It's the least you can do. We did get an interesting comment that came in. I want to mention it. I guess I can extrapolate. Wait, where did it go? One person said that we will be doing a stop at everyone's home to deliver USB cameras to everyone. I'm assuming that's also sort of like, you know, opportunity for like sort of a surprise check-in, but maybe not, but that's an interesting idea for people who are looking for a reason to go to somebody's home. Maybe that might be something to consider. We've talked a lot about employee morale and company culture, sort of on the fringes of our conversation today. I'm wondering, is that something you're monitoring? And if you are you doing it differently than you were when everybody was in the office? Or is that something that, given that everybody's working from home, is that less of a concern now?
I think that it's very important for your, there's an important social aspect to working in the office. I mean, I think we could all go and say, no, they're not socializing while they're in the office. So they're there to work, but that's not the reality behind it. There is an important social aspect behind working in an office that can help to energize and engage your associates. So that's why we, about a week after we started telecommuting, we started conducting what we call Let's Hang Zoom meetings. And all it is basically an open hour Zoom meeting where if you want to come in, come on in and chat with your coworkers. You know, the supervisor that opens the meeting won't even necessarily hang out at the meeting. They just keep the channel open. And they can come in and they can socialize with each other and they take advantage of that. The other thing that we've allowed our associates to do is to chat with each other through Microsoft Teams. The initial concern would be that, hey, they're going to spend too much time chatting with each other through Teams and not enough working, but we haven't seen a drop off. And not a ton of people are using it. We are getting some activity on it, but the activity isn't impairing their productivity. And we think that that's also helping to keep them engaged because, I mean, working from home 2.5 months straight, maybe you see your family, no one else, and you're accustomed to seeing your coworkers, your office friends, you're not seeing them anymore. I think it's kind of our role to ensure that their mental health is in good order too.
That's good input, Mark. You mentioned Microsoft Teams and the chat feature. We're on the other end of the spectrum where we opted to not allow the chat feature for our collection staff because prior years past, we had a similar product, a Barracuda, whatever, instant messaging. And for a long time there, our numbers of messages exchanged was mind-boggling. It was terrible. It was an uncountable number of messages being exchanged. I'd be interested to see if we had turned on this chat feature, how that would change, because I think a lot of those conversations when you're in the office are, what are you doing for lunch? Where are we going for happy hour? Did you see, oh my God, what's your face is wearing today? You know, just absolute nonsense being pumped out over the wind pops as opposed to working. But I think if you're in this work from home environment, a lot of those conversations aren't going to be happening. It might be more business related. So I might need to bring that back to the management table and think about that. But as far as culture goes, just to give one example, it is super important. And it is extremely difficult because it's a new thing to work through for all of us. One example of something that we're trying to do, the last 3 years, we did a field day. Think back to elementary, middle school, like, you know, your favorite day of the year, whatever. We have a bunch of teams come out. We have a bunch of competitions, a bunch of games. And it just was a major success, a whole lot of fun. Everyone gets all dressed up for it and everything. Obviously, we can't do that this year, or can we? So next week, we're going to start putting out rules for a competition to do a virtual field day where you can even involve your family and your kids. And you film yourself in the backyard, living room, whatever, doing certain timed events, and you submit your video, and we'll tie it all together and make a production out of it. But that's just one tiny little effort to try to provide some sense of normalcy or to keep people connected. We've had success with some drive-bys as well, with people driving by our office to the parking lot. We might have a local coffee shop ready to hand them a coffee or something to that effect. And I think, Mark, you were saying that, or someone was saying about driving by with USB webcams and stuff like that. We've done a lot of drive-bys to the houses. We've gone to collectors' houses and dropped off care packages, dropped off incentives and awards. We film all this stuff. We make videos out of all this stuff. So at the end of the day, the most important thing with the culture is that you can show your staff that you are trying. Whether you have an effort that's a hit or a miss, this virtual field day of ours, I think it'll be great, but it could be a huge flop. I don't know. At the end of the day, I would hope the collectors or the staff in general looks at that and just says, wow, they're really trying. They are trying to keep us together. And at the end of the day, that effort probably speaks volumes. So at the end of the day, make sure you're trying something.
I'm gonna go the total other way. All of our collectors have teams and we live on it. I would hate to see the amount of messages that are sent within our company in a day. We've always had teams, you know, with Skype before whatever, you know. So that's something we've always had. We've always allowed, you know, I guess if you want to talk about who's dressed like what, at least you're typing it and not saying it where it could be overheard. And morale, I was a little worried about morale and not coming into the office for myself personally in the beginning, because I'm a very social person and, you know, I didn't really want to sit at home with my kids either. So, it was a little tough at first. We did, about after the first month, we, had a little get together in the parking lot, you know, and everybody social distanced and stayed away. And we all talked, and we've done that twice now just to bring everybody back. But I think overall our morale is good. I think everybody's enjoying the work from home so much that, you know, that keeps their spirits lifted no matter what.
Good ideas. And yes, Greg, we're all talking about what she was wearing. A question that came in that I want to ask that I think is interesting. Would you say that production is better at home as you evaluate more objectively on KPIs only versus a face-to-face discussion where an agent has a chance to defend his or her lack of production? No. Megan says no immediately.
Yeah, no, I don't. To me, lack of production is not justifiable whether you're in the office, at home, anywhere. No, I think I think we were pretty stringent on our expectations to begin with, which made it then even easier when they went home. They knew they were going to be watched. And I think if nothing else, you know, with not being here and having the walk around and somebody watching and, you know, all of that, that they knew that we were mainly watching an Excel spreadsheet, which then, you know, I think, okay, now they can't see me. They don't know that I got up, went to the bathroom. They don't know that I'm doing this. So I need to keep my wrap up time and, you know, everything down. So, I think it's going well. Shoot, you may get my staff on here and they have a totally different opinion.
we could activate Abby and Allie and I'm
sure. Oh no, those two are happy.
Greg, Mark, anything you want to add on top of that?
I think having the same KPIs in place has helped us to maintain that sense of normalcy for our associates. Going in and making too many changes, I feel like we can make too many excuses for ourselves. So again, we made a slight change to one metric just for the adoption period. Then we lowered it back down again and our associates have adapted. So I feel like things are going well. And many of our associates, yeah, they're happier working from home and they're more productive because of it. Now there are some associates that have come out and said, hey, I want to come back to the office. I'm miserable working from home. So in our next phase of return to the office, we plan on having those associates come back in. We just want to make sure that there's adequate space and a good setup for our associates so that they can maintain that appropriate social distance.
Yeah, I'll agree again that we specifically did not want to change a lot as far as KPIs and things that we measure. It was hard enough to make the adjustment for that individual to begin with. The last thing we wanted to do was throw on something else that said, oh, now, by the way, we're going to be watching this instead of that. It was hard enough to even communicate those things on a normal day in the office to get, at least in my office, 250 collectors. It's hard enough to get 250 collectors on the same page when you're going to measure something different now or use different data and use different reports, let alone when they're not from home. So we kept it almost entirely the same as far as what we're measuring. It's just more of a focused effort on those that are in charge of monitoring those things as their tasks have changed and their time has opened up as the team leader is able to look more at the reports or spend more time in figuring out who's doing what. And it's working out very well.
I'm curious, are there ways you'd wish you could be monitoring your employees but are not able to at this time? Megan, you mentioned maybe looking at sort of having a webcam option. Are there other things that you'd like to maybe try or but for one reason or another are not able to?
Yeah, and you know, we threw this around last week when we were kind of putting together our you know, our new formal work from home policy kind of thing, and that was brought up, you know, is there anything we're missing, like that we wish we could see, that we wish we had, or anything like that? And honestly, I couldn't come up with anything. Nobody could come up with anything. You know, I feel like everything that matters to our clients, everything that matters to our business, everything that makes us money was already being taken care of, and it just continued straight on over. So I don't feel like there's anything else I need.
I'm an idea on that. So I mentioned, I beat you to this one, Mark. It's mine.
It's all yours. Sorry.
I'm just messing with you, man. I mentioned earlier that normally in our office, you can have your cell phone and most of the internet that you can get to. And we can monitor a good bit of that in the office just by simply walking the roads and being present. But at work from home, that's very difficult. Now, of course, we have reports and tracking on every website you go to. I imagine most companies do some backend capabilities and reporting. I just don't think we utilize it, to be honest with you. So I personally, on one end, could see the use of Megan's company idea with the webcams. On another end, if you're on the couch in your pajamas, you probably shouldn't be, but if you're crushing it and you're not breaking any laws, I'd rather just not even know about it. But the one report or kind of a KPI or just some sort of data that I think that we could make better use out of is to maybe look at internet usage reports or web traffic activity. Now, at the same time, it's a lot easier. I can just, you know, search anything on my phone, and you have no idea what I'm typing on my keyboard on our systems, but a lot of people are going to be, you know, browsing through Amazon all day long while the consumer is on the other screen. So I think we need to, or you maybe out there in general, could take a look at, you know, web reports and internet usage reports, and you can see, well, employee A has the bad other KPIs, their percentage time is bad, their in-call time is bad, so on and so forth. And you couple that with, well, here's a report that shows you surfing the internet the entire day. Well, now I know what the problem is. So if that report exists, maybe you can take a look at that to the individuals you need to drill down on, because they're probably just surfing the net all day.
I'm confused. Not everybody's collectors talk on the phone and surf the web all day?
I'm doing both right now.
You give me the time to peel back the onion layers. My onion layer might end up on your internet search activity.
A question, is anyone using remote screen monitoring? And if so, what product are you using?
We are not using any kind of product like that.
Three no's. Nobody's using it.
Not live, if that's what you meant, Mike. Not using it live in the moment. It would be like through a Microsoft Teams appliance screen share. Not just drop in or snoop in on screen monitoring.
Got it.
Although we have the ability to do it, I just, like the IT folks, I know that there is some ability to jump into anyone's screen and to monitor, but we're just not doing that.
Someone did put in through the chat that they're using a product called TerraMind, TerraMind. So that might be something if you're interested in checking it out. Again, it looks like it's called TerraMind. We're just about out of time, but I'm not letting the panelists off the hook that easy. I'd like to go around the panel one last time and give you each a chance to share any parting words of wisdom or key takeaways or any other tips or tricks you haven't mentioned yet, but wanted to share with the group because they're valuable and because you want to show everyone how smart you are. But we'll go around the panel one more time. Greg, we'll let you kick it off.
All right, last webinar a week or so ago with you, Mike, I mentioned something about adapt or die, sink or swim. I changed my tone. We're talking a lot about monitoring and production here today, and our staff members probably already feel, to some degree, in the industry that we're in, micromanaged or too many rules to break or too easy to break rules. It can be very stressful, right? When we're in office, in face, correcting them or going over a compliance item, they can see the emotion. You can connect with them a lot easier. You can have an easier conversation. So my only real thought to end this is, as we talk about monitoring and production, is to be very diplomatic about it. Let the collectors state their case or talk through what their issues are. They probably already feel over-monitored to begin with. And if some of our only interactions nowadays are me calling you to tell you that you missed a compliance item or you're slacking in productivity, that doesn't make up for all the times in the office I might have walked by you with a big smile and a high five or a handshake or bought you a coffee. So I need to make sure I'm not just having those conversations with certain staff members. I should be having regular, normal conversations as well. Hey, man, just checking in. How's everything today? I saw your kid graduated last week. That's fantastic. And then leave it at that. And then maybe a day later, I got to have that compliance or productivity call. But just keep your communication full circle and not just focused on, you know, some of the dirtier side of the business of telling people where they did wrong and how they need to do better. Make sure we're talking to them about all the good things in life at the same time. That's all I got.
Good advice, Greg. Thank you. Megan?
I think one of the biggest things is to be successful with this work from home is to not overthink it. You know, when we started and we were like, okay, we've got 4 days to get our whole office at home. You know, it was just a matter of, okay, we just want what's done here to be done here. That's it. And I think if you just keep it simple, keep it, you know, low key, you know, don't stress anybody out. And I agree with the changing of the, you know, the expectations and stuff. That's something we didn't want to do. Don't stress anybody out, you know, And keep things happy. You know, if you have a place you can, you know, all meet up and social distance, or, you know, whatever is comfortable with your employees, you know, get together and hang out and make things fun. And, but I think the biggest thing is just don't overthink it. If you have an employee that you trusted to let them take their equipment home and go home with personal information and run payments, let them do, you know, let them do them, as long, you know, as long as they're good to go and not affecting the company at all, just take a breath and don't worry.
Good advice. Mark?
I think that this is, it's obviously a very challenging time for everyone, but at the same time, I look at this and I say, what a great opportunity for us, in that we have the ability now through, though we were forced to do it, to gauge how effective our associates can be while working from home. And it's a wonderful option for those associates who we feel can do it, who have proven that they can do it. Not everyone can. And you'll find that even those associates who can do it don't want to do it. But if they can do it and they want to do it, it makes them happier. It's going to make them a more productive associate. But also look at the other opportunities as well. I had a call with our HR manager today about recruiting. And we're considering looking outside our immediate area now for candidates, expanding even further. If we can get our entire training program virtual, set up a learning management system, we could have, though we're an Ohio-based agency, we could have associates working in neighboring states, totally different states. And we're willing to give that a try. You do have to take a small leap of faith, but if you've got the metrics in place, you can measure how that's paying off and take the time to put together those metrics. You know, reach out to any of us. I'm sure any of us would be willing to give you our 2 cents. We've been on this call for about an hour now, giving you our 2 cents anyway. So, you know, take a leap of faith. You know, don't do it blindly. You know, monitor what the result is, but give it a try.
Well said. Well, Greg, Megan, Mark, thank you so much for your time and your insights today. This was a great conversation, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
No problem at all.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all. Everybody, thank you. Thanks again.
Thanks to Chris. Questions.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. Thanks again to Chris Rickman and Peak Revenue Learning for sponsoring today's webinar. Thanks to everybody who watched and participated. We'll get a recording of this posted to the webinar recordings page on accountsrecovery.net in the next day or so. Until then, I hope everybody stays safe. Be well. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.